Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, your host of CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I trust that wherever you are right now, and in whatever capacity you are serving in healthcare, and maybe that includes you're a spouse of a healthcare professional or trainee, that this COVID-19 pandemic has not put you in a dark or extremely difficult place. I'm sure that some of our members, maybe even you listening right now to this podcast, are in a position of increased or overwhelming patient care responsibilities, or you're facing cutbacks in elective surgeries or procedures because of this pandemic. I'd like to encourage you today not to lose touch with hope. It wasn't too long ago that I was actually doing a deep dive study about hope in Scripture. I wasn't surprised at all that the book of Psalms by far has the most references to hope, especially for us as God's people who find refuge in the shadow of El Shaddai. But I was surprised to learn that the book with the second highest number of references to hope is none other than the book of Romans. And in that famous chapter, Romans 8, Paul describes for us how all of creation, as well as the children of God, are groaning. Paul said in verses 22 to 24 that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. Well, my guest today, Dr. Daniel O'Neill, along with several other authors, has published this year a comprehensive treatise entitled All Creation Groans, Toward a Theology of Disease and Global Health. Among many other important characteristics, Christian healthcare professionals, we must be characterized as ambassadors of hope. And that's why our Board of Trustees developed a vision statement for CMDA back in 2020, which states that we are all about bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through healthcare professionals. Some of you have heard of the Christian Journal for Global Health, and my guest today is the editor-in-chief of that journal. I invite you to listen in to my recent conversation with Dr. Daniel O'Neill. Well, I'm delighted today to welcome to the program Dr. Daniel O'Neill, who's assistant clinical professor of family medicine at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. He's a graduate of Hope College and Stony Brook University Medical School in New York. He did his residency in family medicine in Pensacola, Florida, and studied tropical medicine and public health in Puerto Rico. He has pursued master's degrees in theological and biblical studies from Bethel Seminary, and had a significant focus on global theology of health, which had a big part in why we're here today to talk to him about a new book. He's served on multiple health and development projects among impoverished as well as displaced populations in Central and South America, West Africa, North India, Indonesia, and the Middle East. Very important, he's a founding board member of Health for All Nations and the founder and managing editor of the scholarly Christian Journal for Global Health. He's a writer and has published many articles and book chapters. He speaks on the interface of health theology, development, and mission. A lot of other things we could talk about, but I don't want to cut short our conversation. He has been a CMDA member, much like I was, from first year of medical school in 1988, and he and his wife, Maria, have three children and five wonderful grandchildren who are a great source of joy in their life. Welcome to the program today, Dan.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
Well, you have been inspired by a couple of great men in mission, one of whom is an old friend of mine, Dr. Dan Fountain, and another I know a lot about but never met him, Ralph Winter. Their influence over your life is significant, as well as some of the authors that helped to contribute to a book that has just come out, you've published, entitled All Creation Groans, Toward a Theology of Disease and Global Health. quite a work. In fact, a recent word that I've come across that I like to use is prolegomenon. It's quite a treatise, but maybe you would admit, and I think you admit in the book, it's sort of just scratching the surface, a beginning of understanding theology and global health. What led you to bring together a number of authors to take on such a imposing topic like this?
Well, we wanted to first define that prolegariat, the word that you used.
Prolegomenon.
I'll have to go back to the dictionary to look that one up for you, Mike. There was a desire on the part of Beth Snodderly, my co-editor, and I, as we met at a Missiological Society meeting in Dallas in 2019, to address this, some of the things that Ralph Winter had discussed toward the later part of his life about healing and the church's mission in healing that he felt was a gap in the Missio Dei. And then also some of the influence that we had with, as you mentioned, Dan Fountain. So, but we didn't want to just have it to be a reflection on their classic writings, but also to see what people have said since then on this topic. And we felt that there was a kind of a glaring gap in healthcare providers in terms of spirituality in the health systems that we work with. And also, you know, having been through seminary, I realized that there wasn't a whole lot of discussion within seminary about the church's role in health and healing, and even the biblical views of God as healer. So that was probably the reason why we felt to take the initiative of bringing together authors to discuss that topic.
Well, there's no question, Daniel, that your position as the founder and editor for the Christian Journal for Global Health has put you in contact with a number of experts in various aspects of global health from a Christian worldview. So that gave you access to lots of writers and thinkers. And you wrote a number of chapters in the book yourself, even though you're co-editor with Beth. You both contributed to the book. I especially focused on many of those chapters that you wrote and found them to be challenging. I want to ask you to help me with a word. I like learning new words. And as a theologian physician, theodicy questions, it seems like these are important questions. How am I to pronounce that word?
Theodicy.
Theodicy, yeah. Can you explain that for me and our listeners?
Well, a theodicy is basically the problem of suffering, you could say. In other words, why would a good benevolent God create suffering or induce suffering in the world population? And that is, in a nutshell, what a theodicy is. It sometimes creates a difficulty with belief around the world.
Yeah, I heard that common resistance to accepting the truth of God's word and the gospel, that God surely can't be good if he allows all this suffering. Well, mm-hmm. what were your goals for this book? And I'm sure there are a number of goals for the book and a number of chapters on, again, a diverse set of topics. But could you just explain some of your chief goals in producing this work right now?
I think one of our chief goals was to basically have a clearer articulation of some of the spiritual, metaphysical, social, moral elements of disease and health in order to develop more of a sound, you know, practical theology, to have a relevant missiology, that is an understanding of the mission of God, and then an effective global health engagement. But more than that, I think to try to help, let's say, you know, medical practitioners understand their role in the world, in the way that God could lead them into delving into the broken fabric of creation, if you will. So it's to serve as framing, like an understanding of a biblical understanding of disease, because it's not a common topic to talk about disease. It's not a common topic to talk about some of the other subjects that lead to disease. And so I think it took a degree of courage, I think, to go out and discuss this topic. But I think the goal is to try to give a biblical historical framework for practitioners to get a deeper meaning to their work so that it's more sustainable for them and they can, you know, hold up under the stresses and strains of practice.
We spent a fair amount of time, yourself and many of the other authors, addressing the reality of our enemy, the evil one, Satan, and evil powers, which, you know, in the West, demythologized in our Western context and want to ignore. So, and certainly human sin, which you state is not a very popular subject in any of our academic and medical circles in the West. And then maybe for the Evangelical Church of America, spent a fair amount of time talking about the wider ecology of sin. And that's not a very common topic that we read about in the church, those of us doing healthcare, is it not?
Well, in the church, I think you do hear about sin, but it's usually in relation to moral sin or to personal sin instead of systemic and even the sin of created moral agents like demons, you know, anything that opposes God's rule and reign. So you have to go there. I think when you talk about a biblical view of disease, you must go to sin, you must go to the spiritual powers. And so we're not afraid to do that. I think, and there's certainly plenty of evidence, not just biblical evidence, of the importance of human behavior when it comes to health and healing or disease and suffering. And we all know that, but yet not too many people talk about it. So, you know, we weren't afraid to, I think, discuss that.
Well, Dr. Dan Fountain, I met him sitting in my office there at Timbuk Hospital a number of years ago, and I've certainly learned a whole lot more about him, Dr. O'Neill, since he passed away and reading some of the things that he has written over many years. But he struck me as a community health guy and as a curative surgeon. You know, I was intrigued by what he had to share with me at that time, but I realize that his understanding in terms of community health and global health was just far more expansive than I had the opportunity to understand at that time.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think we feel that his writings, even though they were written in 1989 in the Health, the Bible, and the Church, is a classic. You know, there's a lot of classics written over the centuries that many people still go to. But that was a classic that I think we're not just resurrecting it, but we're sort of expanding upon it in a new era in the 21st century. So I think what he brought to the table was his experience in Africa, which helped him, coming from the West, to get a much more expansive view of health, healing, and also an understanding of the Bible that is probably more authentic to the text of Scripture. And he elaborates that in his chapter in this book, but also, you know, the rest of the book kind of interacts with some of his perspectives on going upstream. His call was to go upstream and say, well, where is this disease coming from? Instead of just working downstream on the solutions, let's look at the multifaceted causes of disease. And I think that's been very helpful for me personally in my own practice and in my own mission work. But we wanted to share that as well and highlight that for everybody.
So, Dr. O'Neill, you talk about complexity and many causes, etiologies for disease. And your book comes at it from so many different perspectives. What are some of the systems that we need to consider that impact disease and disease prevention?
Well, I think in medicine, and you know, many of your listeners here, I think, are fellow doctors and CMDA members. But once, you know, we identify the problem, we look at the upstream and then the proximate causes, and we seek remedies appropriate for that particular affliction. And then if, you know, when we look at the Bible, we try to understand, based on good scriptural exegesis, where are these realities are coming from. And then there, you know, there's the complexity of scientific advances too, that like, for example, you know, the biblical authors did not understand some of the things we understand now through our collective scientific understanding of the world and these pathways to ill health. And then also, I think, to understand the complexities of social structures that exist, relationships between races, the ethical and moral implications, and then the broader systems, the ecological systems of how we interact with our surrounding environment, the plants, the animals, the weather, et cetera. So that's the way I think the book discusses there. It's not easy to comprehend, but it's important to go there so that we can each expand our understanding and look at our work in the framework of these complex systems.
One of the docs who wrote a foreword for you for the book, I do know, is Mike Soderling, who's out on the West Coast there, and I think works with you at Health for All Nations. And Mike mentions that from his perspective, the timing of the book and the COVID-19 pandemic, well, it couldn't have happened at a better time. I was trying to figure out why he said that. Can you explain for us how this pandemic actually helped with you make a number of the points that you tried to make in this book?
Well, first of all, actually, we wrote the majority of the book prior to the onset of the pandemic in January 2020. So actually, many of the authors adapted significantly their contributions because of the pandemic. I think what the pandemic highlights is some of the things that we're actually talking about, the systems that are broken, the moral elements to government irresponsibility when it comes to release of the disease, the fact that, you know, disease is ubiquitous and that it's universal and it's a universal problem. It highlights the fact that there's, you know, hidden microorganisms that can bring down strong people. And so that the crux of it leads us to understand vulnerabilities of us as individuals, society, but also it also highlights disparities of access to care, disparities of wealth, disparities of different types of employment. And so I think that it's not that the pandemic, that we were glad the pandemic came, that people would be more aware, but it just turned out to be that way, that we were already on that path of discussing it, and the pandemic kind of highlighted it. I think that's what I would say.
Well, one of my prior guests on CMDA Matters, Reverend Dr. Stephen Coe from New York, had put it on my radar that you and others were working on a book like this, and he contributes an excellent chapter on public health systems and their contributions to global health, achieving global health. I do think a significant contribution that you and other authors contributed were this whole highlight on sin and Satan. And what might be some aspects of spiritual forces of darkness that Paul wrote about to the Ephesians in chapter 6 that your average Christian in healthcare today may not really think much about, especially with the incredible academic, technical, secular perspective and training that most of us got?
You know, I think that, you know, this secular humanist-minded colleagues of ours do talk about behavior. They talk about blame. They talk about other things. And we just happen to call it sin because that's kind of the Christian term that we tend to use. So I don't think anybody would, we would say that people don't talk about sin. They just don't use it in those terms as it is, as we understand it, rebellion against God's will and ways. Basically anything that's contrary to God's intentions. And so we believe in the book, I think, highlights this, is that God's intentions is for health and healing and shalom, peace in the earth and for his people. And so I think, while we all understand that human behavior affects disease, I think any practitioner would understand that for sure, and that we all know that it's not easy to trace the causes of human error, but it also highlights the importance as Christians that we understand the importance of the redemption that comes through Christ, that Christ came to redeem us from our sin. And part of that is experienced many times in healing, which is more of a reflection of God's intentions for us and God's future for the redeemed.
So we as Christian physicians here practicing in the United States, many of those listening to this podcast, do you think we should have just a little bit more sensitivity to the spiritual forces at work in our patients on a day-by-day and week-by-week basis and how those are impacting the health of our patients? How can we do a better job of integrating, thinking about the spiritual issues that are impacting our patients, as opposed to just thinking about over there in Africa, you know, where we both served from time to time, and South America? But how can we actually bring that to home?
Well, I think that understanding that, you know, the majority world right now, the majority of Christians live in the global South and East, and we have to sort of overcome our own presuppositions from the West, which tends to airbrush out the whole spiritual ideas, particularly when it comes to spiritual beings that might be affecting people's lives. And if you're not from a charismatic background, it might be difficult to kind of go there and to be aware of that, about the fallen spirit agents. But I think going back to the Bible to say, if we truly believe the Bible to be God's revealed word, we can't escape the view that there are forces. And, you know, if when you hear principalities, you can say that behind some of the disrupted systems, the systems that are bent toward destruction, toward chaos, and toward confusion, and toward deception, there are forces that are at cross purposes with God's perfect will for the world. And being aware of that, and perhaps that would drive us more to our knees more than anything else, knowing that we can't quite understand or trace some of these powers, but these powers are at work, and just being able to witness to them and to be active participants and being able to release people from the effects and the power of them through promoting justice and peace and right relationships.
Well, we as Christians in healthcare, we certainly can't deny that Christ spent a ton of time and is an incredible role model for us in terms of dealing with disease and suffering and death and doing spiritual ministry at the same time. I liked the way that you referred to his homegoing in Nazareth in the speech in the synagogue. I'd never heard it referred to as the Nazareth Manifesto in Luke 4. Talk to us a little bit about how Christ revealed his perspective of the kingdom of God coming to earth and that advancing God's kingdom, not just a forgiveness of sins and eternal life, but an advancing God's kingdom in that Nazareth Manifesto, if you would.
Well, I think when he, you know, stood up in his hometown, by the way, he wasn't widely accepted there. You know, a prophet is not accepted in his hometown.
Sure.
But he, when he opened up the scroll to Isaiah, that quotation from Isaiah followed a point of real depravity among the people of Israel. And that he said, you know, today it is manifested in your hearing, when he said, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the good news is preached to the poor. And so that's kind of a basically the sign of the advent of the coming of the kingdom of God. And that can be manifest in healthcare. It can be manifest through healing that is experienced in communities. Jesus attributed these things to the signs of the coming of the kingdom of God. If we attribute these good things that we see, healing, restoration, renewal, to God's work in the world, then God gets glorified. It's a way of glorifying God. And that's exactly what Jesus did in his hometown.
In our conversation so far, I've heard you say it at least once, and I found it woven throughout the text is exploring upstream causes of disease and upstream contributors to health. So many of us are on the curative side of healthcare and not necessarily focus so much on prevention. I would witness in my own career as a medical missionary the dynamic tension that always exists, Dr. O'Neill. I don't know how much you've experienced it or seen it yourself. I'm sure you have, but the dynamic tension between the community health and the preventive medicine folks, and we need more resources for preventive medicine versus the curative hospital folks, the specialist, surgical specialists and so forth, doing procedures. And there was at one point in time in one of our big meetings, I said, wait a second, guys, you're arguing about the value of mom and dad here. It's like, who's more important, mom or dad? They're both important. Let's get that straight. And yes, I know today it seems like we're biased toward dad and not toward mom, but let's just not forget that. At least for that time, that sort of helped quiet the crowd in the meeting when we had the disagreement. What do you think is the key element to treating disease and obtaining global health today for our listening audience?
Well, I think all these aspects of healing action, addressing upstream causes that you mentioned, and reconciling divisions, you know, routing out corruption, making peace in society, basically liberating those who are in the grip of a strangulating evil, all these can only be found or attained in the fullness, I believe, in and through the one who came to give us life, and life abundantly, as John wrote in his gospel, John 10:10. And so when we look at Jesus, we look at him not just as the redeemer for our sins, but also as one who came to bring new life. And he also created a pattern for us to follow. So he was not just the redeemer, but he was the exemplar. He was the healer that wept. And we know that lament is really important, is a starting point, but we can't just end there with lament and feeling sorry for people. As N.T. Wright wrote in his recent book on the pandemic, he said that lamentless must lead to fresh action. And that's what we are trying to promote through this book. So the key elements to treating disease, I think, are being like Jesus in weeping and lamenting, but also being a good rabbi. Jesus was a rabbi, which means teacher, and that's what doctor means. Mm-hmm. And we know that the words do matter. So the things that we say to people at the point of care and the things that we say in communities when we're called to deal with organizations and governments, that words matter as an explanation of disease processes or engenders hope and confidence. Proverbs 15:30 says, good news gives health to the bones. And we know that Jesus went around doing good. Dr. Luke wrote in Acts 10:38, we went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. But it wasn't just Jesus doing that. He empowered and sent out others to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick in Luke 9:2. And first he sent out 12, then he sent out 72. So the healing is a work not just for professionals, not for people who are trained in the biomedical sciences, but for the whole church. And that's one of the points of the book, is the church becomes a healing agent in the world, and the whole church to the whole world for the whole person. And that would be our prayer for the church.
Thank you, Dr. O'Neill, for your contribution to the church and challenging us all to be cognizant that God wants his kingdom to come now. And it's in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks for joining me today on CMDA Matters.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
Well, you just heard Dr. O'Neill quote author N.T. Wright that lament must lead to fresh action. Dr. O'Neill and his co-authors go into much greater depth than we could possibly have captured in this 23-minute interview on the kind of fresh action that the church can pursue right now in order to bring God's kingdom to this earth in the arena of global health. You can find a copy of Dr. O'Neill's book at your favorite online bookstore, whether that be Christian Book Distributors or Amazon or others. Well, by now you've heard about the new CMDA video series called Faith Prescriptions. But still many of you have not taken advantage of this amazing 10-part video series that is free if you're a CMDA member. The series provides practical training on everything from LGBTQ issues in healthcare to how to pray with your patients, as well as sharing your faith in ethical and appropriate ways with colleagues and patients and their families. Even if you are not currently a member of CMDA, we would like you to experience the first episode of Faith Prescriptions absolutely free. Just go to faithrx.cmda.org/podcast and see for yourself what all the talk and promo is about. Just a couple of conferences coming up. CMDA's Emerging Leaders in Dentistry Regional Conferences will host a conference on October 9th in Sierra Madre, California, as well as October 29th and 30th in Augusta, Georgia. You can register as well as view those specific dates and locations at cmda.org/events. The 2021 Midwest Fall Conference will take place October 15th through the 17th at the Maranatha Bible Conference Center in Norton Shores, Michigan. You'll be able to hear outstanding inspirational speakers as well as receive continuing education credit while enjoying the scenic eastern shores of Lake Michigan. If you'd like more information or you'd like to register, just click the link in our show notes today or go to cmda.org/events. Well, we've got one final week that you can get your copy of Dr. Farr Kirlin's book, The Way of Medicine. He was my guest just a couple of weeks ago, and his book addresses the question, what is medicine and what is it for? What does it mean to be a good doctor? Today's medicine is spiritually deflated and morally adrift, and this book explains why. It also offers an ethical framework to renew and guide us as practitioners in fulfilling our profession to heal. I'm looking forward to getting this book into your hands as a token of our appreciation for a donation of any amount to CMDA. I want to thank you for helping CMDA contend for Hippocratic medicine in the public square, based upon biblically consistent principles. Be sure you check out this book that so articulately explains the challenges that our advocacy team at CMDA, they're facing every single day. You can go to cmda.org/bookofthemonth, one word, to give. I want to thank you for joining me today for this conversation about bringing the hope and healing of Christ as well as the kingdom of God to a groaning world. At the beginning of the program, I reminded you of Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 8, but I didn't finish Paul's thoughts. He concludes verse 24 in chapter 8 by stating, quote, "But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." You know, we live in a period of time with a very real dynamic tension. The kingdom of God has already come, as Jesus declared in that Nazareth manifesto in Luke chapter 4, but there's clearly an element of not yet. All creation continues to groan. And that is where the hope that we have helps us deal with that inward groaning, as Paul put it. Bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world matters to our House of Representatives at CMDA, to our Board of Trustees, to our leadership team here at the National CMDA Ministry, and with all of our hearts, we pray that it matters to all of our CMDA members in this nation and around the world. Remember always that what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. If you enjoy listening to CMDA Matters, would you subscribe and share this episode with a friend? Please let us know how we're doing by giving us a rating on your podcast app and send us your comments by emailing one word, cmdamatters@cmda.org. If you'll tune in next week, I'll be talking with Dr. Christian Smith, who's a professor from Notre Dame, about the factors involved in successfully handing down our faith to the next generation, our own children. What makes faith stick in our children's hearts? What creates barriers to that faith sticking? Come back next week and you'll find out. Thanks for listening today, and El Shaddai willing, we'll see you next week.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.